The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 44, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 8th, 2009, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Bhogaishvarya Prasaktana. Taya Prahrita. Tachetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhauna Vidhiyate Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Prahrita Chetasam Devasayatmika Buddhi Samadhauna Vidhiyate. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport. Samadhi means fixed mind. In the Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti says, Samyad adhiyate smin atma tattva yatatmyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned to the process of material energy.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Samadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha.
So if you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to be determined. Like that little sparrow. Everyone knows the story of the little sparrow?
Yeah.
That little sparrow was very determined, you see. The ocean has stolen my eggs. I will dry up that ocean and get my eggs back. You see. And that little bird was running down. She asked the ocean to return the eggs. The ocean would not do. So she was determined, one drop at a time I will dry up that ocean. And everyone was making fun. Oh, that's to see that stupid little bird. She'll run herself to death before she even makes a small dent in the ocean's supply of water. But when Garuda found out about it, what they are doing, how they are torturing and making fun of my little sister. He became angry like fire. He came swooping into that scene. With great anger, he commanded the ocean, give those eggs back right now or I will dry you up. And the ocean complied. The ocean knew. This is Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. He has all mystic powers. So don't ever tell me it's impossible to become Krishna conscious. That your circumstances don't allow you to be Krishna conscious. It just means you're a wimp. Wimp means an impotent eunuch. You're not determined like the little sparrow. You have to have that power of determination. And I will become a pure devotee of Krishna. Even if I have to die trying to do that, I will give every ounce of my energy to become a pure devotee. You see, this is called determination. But what's the enemy of determination? That is described in this verse. Two types of attachments. Being attached to sense enjoyment and to material opulence. Of course, sense enjoyment is there for everyone. Even those who are not opulent, they have sense enjoyment. But see, those who have sense enjoyment, they want to always have more opulent, more opulent, more opulent, more opulent sense enjoyment. The desire for sense enjoyment is like fire. The more you feed that fire, the hotter it burns. So, instead of feeding the fire of sense enjoyment, one should feed the fire of bhakti. Instead of thinking that you'll become happy by material progress, one should understand, I will become happy by making advancement in Krishna consciousness.
трябва да има разбирането, че аз ще стана щастлив, като правя напред в Кришна
съзнанието. In a special announcement, any children who sit peacefully with their mothers will get birth. Oh, do we have any birthy? No, we're out of birthy.
Anyway.
We're out of burpee, aren't we, Devi? We don't have any burpee left? Huh? Cookies. Any children who sit peacefully, who sit with their mother and hear nicely, they get a cookie tonight. They get a cookie. You have to stay with your mother and hear nicely, and then you'll get a cookie. So, it doesn't apply to the adult. You have to hear nicely anyway, cookie or no cookie. Because you're getting the ultimate cookie of advancement of Krishna consciousness. This surpasses all cookies. Even prasadam cookies. Because the prasadam cookie, you eat it and then it's gone. You see? You know it's transcendental. You eat it and then it's gone. But if you can get the cookie of pure bhakti within your heart, you can go on eating that cookie forever. You see? That cookie never becomes... You can take as many bites off it as you want and it's never gone. And each bite becomes more and more delicious also. It never, you never become satiated with that cookie. So, we're having a little bit of a shorter class tonight because we're having a disciple meeting this evening after the class. Huh? They're not all here, so the Kent disciple meeting has been postponed until tomorrow night. So that means we can go on with the general Krishna Katha for all the devotees. That's nice. That's very nice. So, it's pretty heavy, actually, this verse. Because it's saying that if you're too attached to this stuff, you're not going to become Krishna conscious. This won't happen. It's an, and these are things that are enemies, you see. You can't base your happiness on the combination of the senses and the sense objects. You see, the difficulty is we live in a world where everybody is basing their happiness on that thing. And that diseased mental state is highly contagious, more than the swine flu. The swine flu is pretty contagious. You know, now in the U.S., when you go to the grocery store, they have little sanitizers to wipe the grocery cart with, so you won't get swine flu off the grocery cart. Do you have grocery carts in Bulgaria, in the big grocery store, a little cart with the wheels, you wheel around? Yeah. Yeah, they have a special grocery cart handle sanitizers in the U.S. You can wipe off your grocery cart before you touch it so you won't get swine flu off of it. There's a great fear now of swine flu all over the world, see. But what can we do? They're all like swine anyway. The whole world, they're like swine. Svavidra ushta karai, Bhagavatam says, they're swine. So it's an appropriate name for their flu, the flu of the swine. So anyway, the mentality of trying to be the enjoyer is even more contagious than swine flu. So we had to protect ourselves from catching this flu of material sense gratification. It's the most dangerous flu. It kills everyone. This flu of Bhogaishvarya, you see, it's 100% fatal. Everyone who catches it will definitely be killed by it. And we have all caught it. ISKCON is a health clinic set up by Prabhupada to cure us of this Bhogaishvarya flu. To get free from this Bhogaishvarya flu, one has to be very, very determined, you see. Like that sparrow. You can't sneak in a little sense gratification. Just like that boy in the hospital, he had a very bad disease. He's on a very restrictive diet. But the boy liked cake, you see. So his little brother, who had no knowledge of what was going on, he snuck some cake into the hospital to give his brother, you see. It almost killed him. Okay. Because his body was, he was such disease state, he couldn't take anything like that, you see. Normally, if you give your little brother some cake or your big brother some cake, no, don't think, oh, he loves his brother very much, you see. But that little boy was severely scolded by his parents for serving his big brother cake. So this sense enjoyment, you see, it's like eating that cake we're in the hospital. I received an email today from one Indian gentleman named Jitendra. He said, Why Prabhupada Ji placed these restrictions? But these are our freedom, you see. These are the regulated principles of freedom. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. People think we're crazy for following these rules. They think we're nuts. Isn't it a fact? But you know who's nuts? They're nuts. Because we're getting out of the cycle of birth and death. And they're staying in it. So we have to be very careful when we associate with these people. It's so easy for the mind to get diverted when you're in mundane association. It's so easy to start doubting Prabhupada's teachings when you're in mundane association. This is why Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura gave a special formula for the mind. What do you do when you get up in the morning? You grab those shoes and you beat your mind 100 times. Beat all the nonsense out of that rascal mind. Of course, our beating process is very nice. Chanting our japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's an ecstatic beating. Just like there was a devotee in Chaitanya Leela. He had a whip. What was his name? Abhiram Thakur, I forget his name. Anybody who got whipped by his whip achieved love of pure love of God. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this whipping is not a bad whipping. It's very nice, beating the mind with Hare Krishna shoes, you see, every day. It's very nice. It's ecstatic. In the evening we beat it with broomstick. That is our nice evening program, you see. And if there's no program, then gather your family members and have a little kirtan. Husband and wife and children, have a kirtan. Shishi Garnitai, Jagannath, Malabai, Shabhadra, Sajabuja, Kijai. And if you're all alone, then read Prabhupada's books. Don't watch television. Don't read nonsense newspapers and magazines. Study Prabhupada's books. Don't go to some stupid cinema or go to some ridiculous athletic event. You see? Study Prabhupada's books. Be kind to yourself. Show yourself that you love yourself by giving yourself Krishna consciousness all the time, 24 hours a day. Don't be pulled by bad association into nonsense habits which simply drag you down to the repetition of birth and death. Keep yourself fixed in practicing Krishna consciousness. And I can guarantee you, you'll be glad you did. When you see those Vishnu Dutas at the time of death, you'll be thanking Krishna and Guru that you've stuck with the process. And if you see the Yama Dutas at the time of death, you'll be lamenting why I didn't strictly follow this process. Looks like I need to go for a little punishment. So, are there any questions?
Several questions.
Give me just one, and then we'll see.
Of the people, they have no such determination. The determination needed. So, how it will be possible for them to develop?
How do they earn a living? If they have no determination, how they get up and go to work every Monday morning? How are they making money? Oh, they have determination with sense gratification. So they have determination. They're just putting it in the wrong way, that's on the wrong direction. So they should take the same determination they have for making money and apply that to Krishna. And then Krishna will supply their money.
But they don't want.
They don't want it. Yes, that's true, they don't. That's their foolishness. They prefer to remain selfish than to become selfless. Instead of entering into a state of consciousness which is unlimitedly blissful, but having to become humble to do that, they prefer to remain proud and try to squeeze out pleasure by their own power. So who's more successful in tasting pleasure? Those who become humble or those who are proud? What is the answer?
Huh?
What's the answer to my question? Those who are proud or humble, who gets more pleasure?
They say that it is a check.
No, but who gets more pleasure? The ones who are arrogant or those who are humble? Humble themselves to the Lord. Who gets more pleasure?
I don't know. I am from the arrogant ones.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, Mr. Arrogant, that you can enjoy some of the time according to your past pious activities. But, Mr. Arrogant, you also must suffer whatever the reactions for your impious activities. Therefore, you cannot always be happy. And, Mr. Arrogant, if you're willing to try this process of surrendering to Krishna, then I can guarantee you that you will achieve a plane of unlimited happiness. I'm not asking you to put blind faith in my statements. I'm just saying you can, if you want to make an experiment, you're welcome. I'm a travel agent, and I'm just offering you this opportunity to come on this magical tour to unlimited happiness. If you're willing to pay the price of the ticket, I'll send you on the most amazing journey of your entire existence. But if you think there's other destinations better than mine, you're welcome to go to them. Yanti deva vritan devan pritrinyanti pritri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajinopiman. The worshippers of the demigods, they will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors, they go to the ancestors. Those who worship the ghosts and the spirits, they will take birth among such beings. And Krishna says, those who worship me, they will live with me. If you're not interested to check out the destination we're offering you, that's all right, we're not forcing. But I can guarantee you that you're not going to taste you're not going to have the same experience. Krishna's association is totally different than any other association you'll ever get. You don't have to take it if you don't want it. But I can assure you, Mr. Arrogant, that you're cheating yourself if you don't. So do what you like. Next question from someone else. Yeah.
After completing his 100 years, Brahma is leaving his body.
Mm.
And is it known how exactly this happens in the Vedas?
No, I don't. But he does go back to Godhead, and his followers go with him, generally. Although sometimes the Brahma is not a pure devotee and he comes down to a lower birth. It depends. Our Brahma this time is a pure devotee. We're fortunate that we have a Brahma. The head man in our universe is a pure devotee. We're very fortunate right now, actually. He's given us Brahma Samhita. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The most beautiful prayers he has given us. We're so fortunate. Next question.
Opulence is used here in the text.
Right.
How can we understand this term? What is this level of opulence?
Opulence means, you know, you can drive an old beat up car, you can drive a Rolls Royce, you see. Rolls Royce means opulence. You can live in an old shack or a marble palace, you see. That's opulent. That materially, that opulence means the most expensive first class facilities. That's called opulence. In material world, everybody wants that opulence. They want money so they can get opulence, you see. But they're blinded by that desire for material opulence. Material opulence has never made anybody happy. Next question.
Lately, there are many companies that are phantom companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this case, maybe it is also the same. So, have you something hard to, that we can touch to be sure in what you offer?
Yes. Krishna consciousness begins with the tongue. So, you can taste Krishna prasadam and you can chant Hare Krishna. These are tangible experiences that you can have. It is not phantom. You can taste Krishna prasadam and you can experience the transcendental bliss of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. No one has to tell you that it's ecstatic. You will taste the ecstasy. If you chant it with an open heart, next question. Yeah.
Преди известно време, преди няколко много години, големите проблеми споредяха моето семейство. И те влязоха без да питат дали може. И тогава ние започнахме да търсим помощ. И както се казва при полубоговете, християнство, мисионалство и така нататък, т.е. чукаш на вратата и питаш, можете ли да ми помогнете? Ти вече не питаш дали аз ще стигна до някъде. Аз имам големи проблеми, питам, мога ли? Ще ми помогнете ли? Те казват, да, но единственото, което имаше е реално, нали някой да ни каже, прави това, спазвай тези принципи, мантрувай 16 кръга, всеки следващ ден ще бъде по-добър. Значи това беше Кришна съзнание. И аз това казвам, повярвайте го, преди големите проблеми да се ви ударили шамарите. След това просто е страшно. Защото ти минаваш в друг коловоз. И за да се върнеш в това положение, в което можеш да се усмихваш и да се питаш, ама дали ще стигна до някъде? Губиш време. А ние имаме много проблеми, които ще дойдат. Ние сме си ги създали. Не знам какво да бъде.
She says that her family was hit by many problems, and the only tangible advice she found with Hare Krishna to chant, and she gives advice to him that to chant before the problems come.
So she chanted and the problems went away?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice.
I know who.
No, no, it's not.
Very difficult.
Adski true.
But very difficult.
It was difficult to chant or?
The mantruvash.
No, no, no. Да имаш големите проблеми, всъщност това е един вид насилство, защото ти носиш вече товара.
Yeah, very nice.
You see, sometimes we chant for some temporary relief, and we may get it, we may not get it by chanting. But the real program for chanting is to get permanent relief from all difficulties. To get out of this material world once and for all. That's the real purpose of chanting. It's like you're on the Titanic and it's sinking. Hare Krishna is the lifeboat. You may say, well, I'm having some problems on the boat. I want to, you know, the steward forgot to change the bedding in my cabin, and, you know, they didn't empty the trash, so I need to solve these problems. But is that important if the boat's sinking? They need to change the bedding in my cabin. Some fresh sheets. No, the whole boat's sinking. So the real purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. That's the real reason we chant. Yeah. Oh, you have an answer. Okay, go.
Във връзка с въпроса за богатството, бих искал да попитам, добре ли да желаем богатство, ако искаме да го използваме за Кришна?
Is it good to desire opulence to use it for Krishna?
Yeah, it's dangerous. Because if one is not pure, you can think, I desire opulence to use it for Krishna. The opulence comes and you use it for yourself. But if one is pure, then you can desire unlimited opulence for you for Krishna service. So it's better to pray for purity. And then Krishna will automatically give you whatever much, however much opulence you can properly engage in His service. Focus on developing purity, not acquiring opulence. Then you'll be safe. Yes.
Isn't it that whatever you have, you use it in Krishna's service and He will give, He will decide.
That's right.
Матчи каза, че принципът е, че каквото имаш, го използваш за Кришна и тогава каквото да ти даде, той ще реши.
Whatever opulence you have right now, use it 100% for Krishna.
Каквото богатство имаш сега, го използвай 100% за Кришна.
And this Krishna will increase your allowance. He'll give you more opulence. And if you use that 100% in your service, he'll give you more opulence. In this way, the pure devotee, he can be given the whole world to use for Krishna. Look at how much opulence Prabhupada was given. Millions of dollars. Thousands of disciples. He started with 40 rupees. He ended up with millions and millions of dollars. You see. Whatever you have now, use that nicely for Krishna. He'll give you more and more and more. But don't become bewildered by the opulence. You've got to use it for Krishna. If it comes more, don't become carried away and forget Krishna. Use it all for Him. Next question.
Is the convictions, our convictions, are something material or something spiritual?
It can go either way. If conviction is used in Krishna's service, it is spiritual conviction. And if it's used for sense enjoyment, it is material. Just like the scalpel of a surgeon, it can be used to remove cancer or to murder somebody. So your conviction, it can be used either for Krishna's service or for Maya's service. How you utilize it will determine whether it is material or spiritual. In itself, conviction is neutral. How you utilize it determines what it is for you. Next question. Pundarika, Vijayi.
Това, което наблюдавам. Практиката, че е много дава възможността за, нали, за, за такива арогантни хора по мене, които нямат никакво желание за да се откажат от сетивно наслаждение и да, и да забравят хрина. Си е свикнал с тия неща и не разбира, не разбира същността на философията. Тези простички неща могат да изглеждат много сложно. И чия е отговорността човек да, да приеме тази проста философия? Мога да го кажа по друг начин. Самички хората не могат да следват след процеса на Кришна съзнание, който трябва да им се създаде условия. Mm-hmm. Обикновените хора не могат да се мисля какъв смисъл.
So, the advertisement sounds very nice. But the people alone, they cannot follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Who is to create possibilities for them?
Нярідека тарикаха Кришна упадеш Кришна упадеш Амара агая гуру хойте идеш. Wherever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna in this way, and my order, you become guru and deliver the people of Bulgaria.
Който и да срещнеш, ти просто му кажи за Кришна и по този начин стани гуру. По моя заповед стани гуру и освободи хората от България.
So you're the one who has to make it possible for them.
Ти си този.
You must be a preacher.
Трябва да проповядваш.
Spiritual teacher, guru.
Духовен учител, гуру.
And
who will help me?
You have to have guru also. You have guru. You have your Guru Maharaj. He's not dead and gone.
Ти имаш своя Guru Maharaj. Той не е умрял и заминал.
If you take shelter of his instructions from within your heart, he will bless you and guide you how to preach nicely.
Ако ти приемаш обещите в неговите инструкции, в твоето сърце, то ще те учи как да проповядваш добре.
Аз съм си малко към нас офиски момче. Как да смисъл? Аз ги знам инструкции, обаче аз също хора, намирам в база много трудно да следя инструкцията на духовния учител и въобще на философията на Кришна знае, практика на Кришна знае. Аз намирам в база много трудно и аз също имам нужда от условия за Кришна знае. На мен кой е мисля за такива условия? Аз съм обикновен човек.
I'm very simple man. I know the instructions, but for me it's very difficult to follow them. Who is to help me?
These devotees, I'm sure these devotees here are willing to help. Is everybody willing to help him?
Yes.
Yes? Who's willing to help him? Raise your hand. All right, you got many friends here who are willing to help you if you're having difficulty.
He says that, but they also have difficulties. Help them.
Yeah, then you. That's all right. If everybody tries to help each other, even if you're all having difficulty, by that synergy, everybody will become strong.
We need a solution.
Чакай да преведа едно. Ако това е добре, ако всеки взаимно се опитате да си помогнете, посредством тази синергия, всички ще просперират в Кришна съзнание. Pundarik says that we are seeing each other too little.
Too
rare.
So you all should help each other. And then by that combined helping, you'll get the special mercy of Guru and Krishna.
Всички трябва да се помагате и поради това усилие ще получите специалната милост на Гуру и Кришна.
I can help you also. If you take my help, I will give you unlimited help.
Ако вие приемете моята помощ, аз мога да ви дам безкрайно.
Do you want it?
Yes. Искате ли?
I didn't take it. You can write me anytime.
Може да ми пишете по всяко време.
Yeah. What's the question?
I was just making a point.
Yeah, the point is, sometimes we want to help the way we want it. Like, you know, please help me the way I want to be helped, not the way I should be helped, but the way I want to be helped. That's the problem. See? And does everybody understand?
Проблема се поражда от това, че ние искаме да приемем милостта така, както ние искаме да приемем, не така, както Кришна смята, че трябва да ни я даде.
Please give me some guidance, you see. But then when the guidance is given in a way that you don't want to hear it, then you complain, oh, but I didn't want to hear it that way. Tell me a different one. You see, you have to take it, you have to be prepared to take the guidance that comes, even if it's not pleasant for you. Even if it's bitter pill, you see. The doctor may give you a medicine which tastes very bitter, but you have to take the medicine. You say, my dear doctor, I only take medicine if it's sweet. I won't take any bitter medicine. That means you're trying to play doctor. No, you should be the patient. Do not try to be the doctor when you are sick.
His case is jaundice with craziness. His case is jaundice combined with craziness, psychopathy,
madness.
So he's thinking he's doctor and
Krishna Prasadam sugar candy. Will solve all your problems.
Zahar and bonbon prasadam.
Ама той горчи, ако няма. А въпросът беше, ако няма вкус към горчи, лекарства, никакъв шанс ли няма? Направо ме описват.
Кажи, какъв има ли шанс?
Is he have any chance? Does he has any chance?
Обича горчи,
ако не обичам горчи, имам ли някакъв шанс?
He doesn't like bitter.
If you have jaundice, you have to take sugar candy. But I can tell you it'll taste bitter in the beginning because that's the nature of the taste of sugar candy for a jaundiced person. You better be ready to taste medicine even if it tastes bitter. If you say, I spit out your bitter medicine, I say, you remain sick.
And this is all. Is that all?
Yeah, you got to take the medicine. If you want to get well, even if it's bitter, you got to take it. Otherwise, you're not going to get well. The medicine is sweet, actually. And because you're suffering from jaundice, you're thinking it is bitter, that's all. It is not bitter medicine, but you're thinking it's bitter because you have jaundice. So you must take it even though you experience it as bitter.
And then gradually it will regain, you will taste it as the sweetest, as sweeter than the sweetest honey. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 42. Yattadagre visham viva pariname mritopamam tatsukam satvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be the most horrible tasting poison, but in the end becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey, and which awakens one to full Krishna consciousness, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness.
Което в началото може да ти се струва като най-горчивата отрова, обаче после става по-сладко от най-сладкото, е щастието в гората на доброто.
Обаче казва, че трансценденталното щастие е сладко от началото.
But it is said that transcendental happiness is sweet from the beginning to the
end. Yeah. But are you ready for it?
Ако готов ли си за него?
Only for those who have fully surrendered. Those who are holding on to the enjoying mood, they cannot experience it yet. Transcendental happiness in the mode of goodness is only experienced by those who have no desire to enjoy happiness. Who only want to give happiness to Krishna. They have no idea, no desire to enjoy happiness on their own. You've already presented yourself as a person who wants to taste sweetness. That mentality disqualifies you from the transcendental happiness. At the present time. So it will take some time for you to come to that platform. You have to be patient and do your duty. And then gradually you will awaken it.
One personal question.
All right.
He has personal question.
What is it? Unrika has. Yes, I said yes.
Дори някакви норми, не само заради мен, а заради всички. И мисля, че беше... Повечето хора го познават като много революционна личност, дори за това революционно движение, мога да му кажа, беше революционна личност. И когато напускаш духовния институт, физическо си тяло, то ни остане наставление да намерим някой от неговите духовни брат, който да ни помага духовно. И определено аз имам нужда от такава личност, само че търся за някой, който наистина може да се жертва за мен, защото една книга от авторитет на духовен жител в Искон почетва, че всъщност едно от качествата на Ачария е, че той е готов да нарушава граници, да престъпва граници и да рискува живота си и всичко за, за да спаси учениците си. Въпрос ми е съвършената дума на толкова жертва, за да ни определят.
Трябва ли да превеждам това дълго?
Бих желал, да.
What's the translation for them now?
You translate. You translate.
I may be able to hear it very well.
I guess everyone here in this room, most of the people in this room know that I had sort of a hard time, a fall down in my spiritual life. And these were really tough times for me. And there was one person that helped me out. This was my spiritual master, although I have never seen him in person. He helped me by one of his books. It's called Solace for the Heart in Difficult Times. So by reading this book, he helped me out. And then we started communicating through emails, and sometimes he used to write me emails. I didn't write him a letter. He was just writing to tell me how much he's thinking of me. I'm still keeping those letters. And I always felt him very close. And he was the kind of person that you can go, he was a very revolutionary, even for this revolutionary movement, he was kind of a rebel, you can say. And he was always, not always, but he dared to cross over borders and sacrifice his own prestige and position just for the sake of his disciples and followers. So when he was leaving his physical body, he instructed us and me to take one of his god brothers, honestly, as your kind self, to help us out. And I read in a bona fide book by one of your god brothers, who is a bona fide spiritual master within our society. He was saying that one of the qualities of the spiritual master is that he's ready to sacrifice and to even put himself in jeopardy for the sake of his disciples' spiritual lives and prosperity. So my personal question to you is, are you ready to sacrifice anything for saving my spiritual life?
So, yes, that is a very personal question. Yes, I'm willing to do whatever I can now. Whatever I possibly can do to save your spiritual life, I'm prepared to do it. That's a bit.
Да, това наистина е много личен въпрос. Да, аз съм готов да направя всичко, което е в моите възможности, за да спася твоя духовна живот.
I sometimes get in trouble for my disciples. The ISKCON leaders, sometimes in trying to help my disciples, the leadership of ISKCON has gotten very much against me. And I took strong positions to protect my disciples. But I always, even if my own reputation in the society and I got in trouble with the leadership, I would always give my disciples first preference. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember that, but then the disciples don't.
That's another thing. That disciple didn't appreciate what I'd done.
But then the disciple also should be dedicated.
The disciple has to also be dedicated. Spiritual master is willing to do anything, but you have to also be willing to do anything.
They don't get it, then I reject the spiritual master.
Yeah.
не когато не получиш това, което желаеш да отричаш от духовността.
Any other question? Does that answer your question? Матера Прабу.
Шримад Бхагаватам, Форт Кенто, the prayer by Lord Shiva. It is said that even when one pronounces the name of Krishna with jokingly or not with the attention needed, it still bears the same result. So could you please explain a little more about this?
Yeah. You probably are familiar with the story of the true story of the Urdu-speaking man who was killed by a wild boar. Urdu-speaking means he is Muslim. So, according to the Muslims, the pigs, the hogs, that is condemned food, is not eatable by Muslims. So he was in the forest, he was attacked by a wild boar. And as he was being killed, he uttered the Urdu word, which means condemned. That Urdu word for condemned happens to be haram. So as he was dying, the very last syllable that came from his lips, haram. So he went back to Godhead. So there's the proof. You may say, well, that's great. These 16 rounds are too much trouble. I'll just make sure to utter the name of God at the last minute when I leave the body. But if you want a degree, do you just sit around and wait for an honorary degree to come, or do you work for it? If you want a degree, you better enroll in the university. Qualify yourself. He was fortunate. That was extraordinary mercy, but it doesn't happen to everybody. Everybody utters the name of God at the time of death. If you want to be sure that you utter God's name, then you have to practice throughout the lifetime, every day chanting at least 16 rounds. So even though it's a fact that any sort of utterance of the name has great transcendental benefit, even to the point of liberating one, even if they don't intend to chant the name of God. It may not happen in every case. Gandhi chanted the name of Ram at the time of death, but Prabhupada said he didn't go back to Godhead. He committed many offenses against Krishna, you see. So, if you really, even though the name is all powerful, the consciousness can be a factor also. Prabhupada said that Gandhi got a human birth in his next life. So how you need to cultivate bhakti mood if you want to be assured of it going back to Godhead. Not just you can
whimsically chant in any condition. But because the name is all-powerful, sometimes people didn't even intend to chant God's name to get liberated. It's not a guaranteed result. If you want the guaranteed result, fully surrender to Guru and Krishna. He didn't go back to Godhead. He got an extension. Narayan, he chanted Narayan and got an extension. He got a second chance. He didn't go back to Godhead at that moment. So if you want to go back to Godhead, chant 16 rounds, quality rounds every day. At least. If you have time, chant 64 rounds. Or if you have unlimited time, chant 3 times 64 rounds, 192 rounds. ¥300,000 names, like Haridas Thakur, if you have time. But even better still, chant 16 rounds and preach. That's even better purification. Just chant 16 rounds and go out and distribute books and do Harinam. That's even more powerful than chanting 64 rounds. Preach and distribute books and do Harinam. That's the most powerful chanting.
Има много чисти преданно отдадени. При предположение, че сега има много повече чисти преданно отдадени, защо успехът на ИСКОН е намалява и не е същи като по времето на правда?
Previously you have said that now in ISKCON there are many pure devotees. Mm-hmm. And then why is the success of ISKCON now is less than when there is one pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada?
Actually, we have many more centers and many more members now and many more books going out than we did previously. On the global level, actually, I'm not sure about the number of books. Do you know?